We're going to be looking at a lot of verses. We're going to be dealing with anger, anger, anger. We need to talk about anger, anger. I have to make a confession to you that God has dealt with me and continues to deal with me with my anger issues. Now, what I discovered is that the people who are the nicest folk in the world can be the nastiest, meanest, angriest people. If y'all all say amen together, nobody will know I'm talking about you. Yeah, I've been angry. Most people do have issues with anger. I've been angry at my wife, my kids. I've been angry with my siblings. I've been angry with you jokers from time to time. And God continues to deal with me and challenge me and show me how to handle it. And I want to deal with and share with you what God has to say about it. The Bible has a lot to say about anger. I mean, the Bible is filled with it. And while y'all are perpetrating like you don't have an anger issue, I know that somebody on your row has an issue with anger. Matter of fact, just look up and down your row and see if you can figure out who it is. It's probably a person that's looking straight ahead and not looking to either side. Every day we read something in the news about somebody doing something that's a reflection of the fact that they don't know how to handle their anger. Road rage. Somebody cuts you off. Read in the paper. Here on the news, it's on a regular basis. Somebody just a couple weeks ago, just in Las Vegas, just got angry and drove to the woman's house and shot her and killed her. I mean, really, people don't know how to handle their issues. We all got issues. Everybody in here got an issue. I got an issue. You got an issue. All of you jokers got issues. All of us got issues, but we got to deal with it. Now, the thing that's interesting about Colossians is this is, again, Paul's letter to this church. And like Ephesians, the first couple of chapters deals with doctrines, and the last three chapters deal with the practicality of how to live. And so in chapter 3, verse 8, chapter 3 on is telling us how to live our lives. But by the time he gets to verse 8, he tells us that there's some things we have to put off. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. All of those are talking to me. Because I can cuss. Y'all supposed to say I can too. Y'all supposed to say me too. Yeah, I can go for it. Now I don't cuss like y'all cuss. I have little short cusses. I might say a word. Y'all have multiple words, string of words on top of each other. And then I confess and repent after I finish. I'm praising the Lord. I haven't cussed at nobody all day today. So come on, let's give the Lord praise for that. Yeah, you got to take it. You got to take it one day at a time. Just try to make it through the day. So the Bible has a whole lot to say about anger. I mean, it is filled with it. And I can only scratch the surface about it. What God has to say about it. So let me just run through some verses. Now, here's the best way for you to do this. I'm going to give you the verse, write it down, and then if you can catch up with me and read it, that'd be great. But I know y'all, you know, you might not be able to stay up with me. Just make sure at a minimum you write it down so that you can have an opportunity to go and read it and review it when you get an opportunity. Let's start off with James chapter 1. That's in the Old Testament. I mean, the New Testament. Just trying to see if y'all are paying attention. James chapter 1 tells us a very important thing about anger. Verse 20, here's what it says. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now that's a powerful verse right there. The wrath of man, your anger, you're flying off the handle, you cussing people out, you giving people a piece of your mind, does not produce God's righteousness in that person. Or in you. Come on, talk to me for just a second. The wrath of man, the anger, the frustration, the disappointment doesn't create righteousness, at least God's righteousness in another person. That's a very powerful point. Because we think if you cuss somebody out, give them a piece of your mind, tell them off, they'll change. They might change for a minute to shut you up, but it will not produce lasting change in that person's life. They will not forever change, but so the scripture is telling us it's no need of you going off and flying off the handle at somebody, because what you do in your anger is not going to make them change forever. The wrath of man does not produce God's righteousness in a person. That's James chapter 1, verse 20. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11. And here's what that verse says. A fool vents all his feelings. If you can't say amen, say ouch. If you can't say, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. You flying off, you got that anger rising up. The Bible says when you just start going off, you're a fool. There's several fools on your road. Don't look, don't look, don't look. There's several fools on your road. There's some people who just fly off the handle, give it, tell people what they think, how they're feeling. But the scripture says that's not wise. A wise person learns how to hold back what he thinks and what he feels. But a fool vents whatever he's feeling at the moment. I be trying to tell people every day, I be trying to teach people, don't govern your life by how you feel. Your emotions are dangerous. They can be dangerous for you to govern your life and speak them. As a matter of fact, anger is an emotion that God gives us that's a signal that something in you is not right. It is God's internal warning signal. Danger, 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 Will Robinson. Danger. Y'all remember that? Oh, that's right. Just the young crowd. Y'all don't remember Lost in Space. That was decades ago. But there used to be a robot on there. And anytime the little boy, Will Robinson, would be in some place they shouldn't be, he would say, danger, danger, danger. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. If you ever get a chance, go to one of those old show channels and watch Lost in Space. And that's what anger is. It is a danger. It's an alarm. That when you feel anger, that's God's way of saying something in you is not proper. But instead of us looking at it as a signal, we start flying off the handle and expecting people to do what we want to do. And we telling people off and giving them a piece of our mind. Instead of recognizing that your feelings, God uses those feelings to try to tell you there's something wrong with the way you're looking, viewing, your perspective on what's happening right now. Thank all 17 of y'all. I appreciate that. Let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 8. Have I lost y'all? Y'all with me? Here's verse 8 of Psalm 37. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Here's what it says. Anger and wrath causes harm. You're hurting yourself. It's not healthy. It's not positive. As a matter of fact, you're probably hurting not just only yourself, you also hurt relationships. Matter of fact, I'm sure you're going to be hurting, creating problems with relationships. So it says it creates harm. Don't do it. Just go to Proverbs chapter 22. Am I going too fast? Verse 23. Proverbs chapter 22. In verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, do not go. Verse 25, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. He said, look, be careful. If you see a person that has a problem with anger, don't go around them. Let me tell the single ladies, all the single ladies, where the single ladies? If you're hanging out with a brother and he has an anger issue, you need to cut that thing off right now. He's flying off the handle. Because I know you think you can change him. I know you think you can make him better. But you can't change. The wrath of man does not produce the righteous God. You can't change him. You can't make him better. That's not your job to do it. If he has an anger issue, if he puts his hands on you, it's time to make another, it's another deal. He got an issue. He got a problem. So if a man, matter of fact, the scripture says, I didn't make this up. It says, make no friendships with the angry man. That goes for anybody, man for man, woman with a man. If a brother got an issue, don't be his friend. And don't go where they're going, because you might become like them. Can I get an amen right there from anybody? And y'all don't like this kind of teaching, do y'all? Okay, it's all right. I'm still going to give it to you whether you like it or not. Go back one chapter to chapter 21. Now, brothers, I want you to read this verse, verse 29. 19, verse 19. Let me read this to the brothers. Better to dwell in the wilderness. Huh? Then with a contentious and angry woman. I see somebody want to say amen, but they scared. Get the picture. The Bible's saying it's better for you to get a tent and a sleeping bag and go out in the woods. Are you waving at me, Deacon Stanley Rogers? Are you saying amen, Pastor? It's better to go in the woods than to live in a house with a woman who has an anger issue. That's serious right there. That's serious. I know the brothers won't say amen. Just go ahead, wink at me. Just wink at me, brothers. Use the eye on the opposite side of where she is. Yeah, go ahead. I see. Yeah, I got you. Woo, if y'all can see all the winks going on at me right now. That's true. Anger is not a positive attribute. People don't want to be around folk with anger who got an anger issue. I've seen pretty women who become ugly because they got an anger issue. The scripture says it's better to just live by yourself in the woods. Isn't that word powerful? That's a powerful scripture right there. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4:26. Here's what Ephesians 4:26 says. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry and do not sin. Now, let me be clear, because some people think this is a directive to tell people to be angry. Let me give you the proper interpretation of this passage. It's not telling you to be angry. It's in essence saying when you become angry, when you have anger come upon you, don't sin by letting the sun go down on unresolved anger. He says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the day end and you still got this anger floating around in your heart. Because it only grows. If you don't deal with it, it grows. If you don't handle it, it only gets stronger. If you don't do something about it, here's the Bible. The Bible said, look, fix it before the day is over. Now, the question is, how do you fix it? Some of y'all have been trying to fix it for many days, many nights. You don't know how to deal with it. That's why I'm here today to show you and tell you right here two principles. There's a bunch of principles on anger, but I just want to highlight two. They're very similar, but they are the start of what I believe are the keys to helping you deal with your anger issues. Here's number one. You got to learn to surrender or yield what's called unyielded rights. Yield unyielded rights. Let me explain to y'all what that means. Because people get angry here's one of the main reasons people get angry is because they feel they have a right to something. Somebody say they think they have a right to something. We think we have a right to own something, to control, to receive. Some of y'all got mad when you got here today because we wouldn't let y'all sit in the back. We told you to come on down here in front. Because you felt you had a right. So you copped an attitude with the ushers. When all the ushers were doing was following the instructions of their pastor. So you caught the attitude with them. You got angry. Tried to fuss at them. I don't know what they said. Didn't hear what they said. But the bottom line is this. We don't have rights. Y'all don't believe that. Okay, let me take you to the scripture. Psalm 24. Let's go to Psalm 24. Y'all didn't say, nobody said amen on that when I said it, so I still have to explain everything to y'all. Psalm 24, verse 1, it says this. Listen carefully. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. The world and they and those who dwell therein. Y'all see that right there? The earth is the everything on the earth belongs to God. You know what that means? You don't own anything. You don't own anything. You don't own nothing. Nothing belongs to you. Matter of fact, you say, this is my car, this is my house. No. It's really God's house. It's God's car. He lets you use it. He made you a steward of it. He gave you the job to be able to buy it. He gave you the money to be able to buy it. It belongs to Him. You didn't make anything. You didn't create anything. God gave it to you. It's His. He could take it from you in the drop of a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, what you think is yours could be gone. And sometimes we get upset because we think we are owed something. We deserve to be treated a certain way. We own this. We own that. This is mine. When God says the proper attitude is to understand that your life is not yours. Nothing is yours. Everything belongs to God. When I was a teenager, God started teaching me this lesson because I had bought my second car. It was a 1970 Chevrolet Malibu, something like that. Nice car, power windows, air conditioning. It was great because my previous car didn't have no power steering, didn't have no air conditioning. The air conditioning I had was you roll the window down. That's how you do it. You roll the window down and you drive. That's your air conditioning. But I had this nice blue Chevrolet Malibu, four-door power steering, power brakes, air conditioning. It was a fine car. It was nice. And my mother had gotten pregnant with my brother, who's 20 years younger than me, 19, 20 years younger than me. And when he was like 5 or 6 or 7 years old, he's in the car. He's in the car fooling around in my mother's car. The car's in the driveway. My car is parked out on the street. I'm sorry, God's car was parked out on the street. So back in that day, you could get in the car and put the car in gear without turning the ignition on. In that day, you could put it in gear without putting your foot on the brake. Anybody remember those days back then? So he in the car fooling with the gear and he put it in drive and or neutral or whatever. And here comes rolling down the driveway into my car. I'm sorry, into God's car. At the time I viewed it as my car, I went off on my little brother. He was a little kid. He didn't know any better. But I went slam off. I went slam off. And I heard God say to me, is that your car? Do you know how you got the car, John Jenkins? Do you know that I can take that car away from you just as easily and just as soon as I gave it to you? It was the start of a lesson that I've been learning for the last 50 years. I'm still learning that nothing belongs to me. When somebody does something that causes tension to rise in me, I have to say to myself, this ain't mine. It's God's. I have to say, when I go in my children's room and it's not clean, and I feel something rising up inside of me, I hear the Lord say, that ain't your room. But something fight back at me and say, but I'm paying the mortgage here. And then something come back at me and say, but I gave you the job to pay the mortgage on the house. I want to go back and forth in argument, but what keeps me calm is the reality of the fact that I remind myself, it ain't mine. It belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's. It's His. When my little brother ran into the car, I had to learn in that moment and that lesson, it's not mine. When my kids now, when my children, my sons go in my closet, go in God's closet and take the shirt out of the closet that belongs to God that He made me steward over. Did I say it right that time? I'm looking for the shirt and I can't find the shirt. And my wife say, you better go over there and check your son's closet. And lo and behold, I walk over to his room and there, sitting in the closet, hanging on the hanger in his room, is the shirt that God made me steward over and responsible for. So I have to say to him, do you think you could take the shirt that God assigned to me, made me responsible for, and put it back over in the closet to which most of the things that God made me assigned for and put it back in that closet. Because I would like to wear it. But I didn't go off. There is a day I would have went slam off. I would have run up and down that joker. But I'm thanking God I'm changing. Everybody in here at some point in their life is going to have to give every, is going to have to, if you want to get rid of your anger issues, you're going to have to learn how to give everything to God. Everything. Did I say everything? Everything. You don't, nothing's owed to you. You don't own anything and nothing's owed. No, people don't even have to treat you the way you want to be treated. They don't have to. If somebody disrespects you, you have to recognize, say, hey. It's not my life. It's not my reputation. It's not my name. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. I'm a servant of Him. If you want to talk about me like a dog, it's okay. I'm God's servant. If you want to ruin my name, it's okay. It's God's. I'm living for Christ. I know that's a piece of meat that some of y'all are going to have a tough time chewing. But start putting some tenderizer on it. Start chewing on it now. It'll get soft enough for you to be able to swallow. You can make that choice or you continue to live your life in anger and nobody want to be around you. And people afraid of how you're going to fly off the handle and treat everybody because of your anger issues. Let me roll on to number two. I'm acting like I got all day. Oh, I can't take time. We ain't going to handle traffic against you. Did you have traffic problems coming in today? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. You got to get to a place. Whatever that thing is in your life, That if somebody messes with it, somebody messes it up, that's going to cause you to go off, you need to give that to Jesus. Let me go to number two. Go to Psalm 62 while you're here. And let me give you the second thing. So the first thing, what did I tell you was what? Yield unyielded rights. Here's number two. It has to do with expectations. Here's why some people get upset. They have expectations. And my challenge is to tell you today, if you want to deal with your anger, what you got to do is to release unfulfilled expectations. Release unfulfilled expectations. See, what makes some people go off is they have an expectation of something that is not fulfilled. You expect something. And nothing happens. Now you got an attitude. Release that expectation to God. You expect your husband to do whatever. Bring the bacon home. He doesn't do it. You expect your kids. We have expectations. And oftentimes, when these expectations are unfulfilled, we get angry. Now here's what the Bible says. Psalm 62. Are y'all with me? I'm going to read the first two verses. And then I'm going to slide down to verse 5 and 6. Truly, my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Y'all see that verse 1 and 2? Slide down to verse 5. My soul waits silently for God alone. There it is. It says it again. For my expectation is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Get the point. That the scripture says that our expectations in life should be pointed toward God. Because let me tell you something. I promise you that when you put your expectations in people, they have the capacity to disappoint you. Amen. Not only do they have the capacity to disappoint you, I promise you they will disappoint you. Human beings will let you down. Human beings will miss the mark. Human beings will make mistakes. Never put your hope in a human being. Somebody comes to me, they got marital issues. I say, I can't trust the person no more. God never in the scripture, not one place that I know anywhere that God tells us to trust a person. We're not called to trust people. We're called to trust God. And when you trust God, when your hope is in Him, you know that if He allows anything to happen, you know that He's already put enough in you to be able to deal with whatever it is He allowed to come into your life. I wish I had an amen from anybody here. You understand what I'm saying to you today? People can disappoint you. Don't put your hope or your expectations in people. It ought to go in Christ and in Christ alone. I like what the writer says right here in Psalm 62. He says, I'm waiting silently for God. My hope is in God. My expectation is in Him and in Him alone. He's my rock. He's my shield. He's my defense. I'm not putting my hope in people. Don't put it in your husband. Don't put it in your wife. Don't put it in your kids. Don't put it in your pastor. Don't put it in your boss. Don't put it in the government. Don't put it anywhere. Put your expectation in Christ and Christ alone. When people join this church, the first thing we try to teach them in the new members class, don't you be looking to pastor. He ain't coming to see you. Don't put the expectation. If you get sick, he ain't coming to see you unless you're dying. When I show up people's doors, they say, Pastor, please don't be coming in here to see me. No. Don't put your hopes in me. Don't put your hopes or expectations. I'm a man. A human being. I'm not God. I want you to put your hope. Don't have expectations of me. I can't do anything. I can't change your children. I can't make your husband. People call me, can you call my husband? No, I can't call him. Pastor, if you just call my wife, I know she'll listen to you. If she ain't listening to what I'm saying up here every day, Sunday after Sunday, she surely ain't going to listen to a phone call. And people get mad because I don't respond the way they want me to respond. I don't do what they want me to do. I get letters and emails. They don't like the words that I use. Why you got to talk about this? And why can't you talk about that? Listen, I am who I am. Give your expectations to God. If you don't like me, then maybe this is not the church for you to be a part of. I'm well past the point in my life where I try to adjust my personality to meet the expectations of people. I'm way past that. There was a time that I tried to keep everybody happy. But I understand no matter what I do, what I say, I ain't gonna make nobody happy. And you know what? My expectation is not of your approval. If I get His approval, I'll have everything that I need. And that's the way you have to be in life. You have to be like that in life. Give your expectations to God. And look for what it is you're looking for from Him and Him alone. That's where it's got to go. And the bottom line, when it's all said and done, all of us one day have to give an account and answer to Him. And I'm telling you today, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust. Y'all don't know that song. Y'all new people. The sweetest frame. But wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ is an old hymn, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Somebody know the song here, on Christ the solid rock I'm standing. I need to push you today. I want to push you hard. But some of you have lived your life with anger in your heart towards certain people because of what your expectations of them were. You've lived your life and you've harbored anger in your heart toward them. And whether you know it or not, that anger that you're harboring in your heart unfortunately affects your relationship with God. You want to know why He can't hear your prayers? Because you're walking around with this anger in your heart against somebody when you should have never had an expectation of the person in the first place. It should have been toward God and God alone. Lean over and tell your neighbor, he's preaching better than you're saying amen. Go ahead, tell him. Lean on the other side. Say, you ought to be saying amen. You know the pastor talking to you. Go ahead, say that to them. Amen. We have to give our expectations to God. And you know what I discovered? God might not come when you want Him. And when He does, He's always on time. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen right? He will show up on time. And guess what? I've learned over my life that there's some things that I wanted God to do that He didn't do, but I can look back and say, God, thank you that you didn't do what I wanted you to do back then. Come on, stand on your feet and help me give God a shout right there real quick. Amen.
Today's dynamic message from Pastor Jenkins is one that has the power to change your life, but it can only do so if you have a heart and soul that belong to Jesus Christ. Perhaps you want to be able to make such a claim, but you don't know how. It's simple. You just have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose again with all power. Your sins are now forgiven, and you're part of the family of God. Welcome. Maybe you're already saved and in need of a church home, one that will nurture your growth and development as a Christian. Or perhaps you were once in fellowship with God, but have since drifted away and are ready to return to your first love. Whatever the case, we'd love to have you become a part of the First Baptist family. Simply contact us at 301-773-3600 or visit our website at www.fbcglenarden.org for more information on any one of our four convenient services or our 100-plus ministries designed to meet your most intimate needs. First Baptist Church of Glenarden, where God is developing dynamic disciples.